The hot stove is heating up, Jay Bird watching fans. So come on in and join Chris Key and Craig Borden and myself, Brendan Panikkar, as the official podcast of Jay's Journal. Gentlemen, how hot are your asses with this hot stove getting so red hot these days? What's going on?
Aren't you ready to spike the football yet? Come on.
Yeah, especially after the 49ers win on Monday night against the Rams. That's unexpected, but fucking awesome.
Look at you turning it around already.
But anyways, we're not a football podcast, but yes, I am ready to spike the football.
Yeah. My ass is toasty, but I'm not sure if it's from the hot stove. But
that's why he says he had Taco Bell for lunch or something.
Yeah, you ate. Too funny. But yes, it is Wednesday, the week before Thanksgiving for our friends south of the border. So that includes you, Mr. Borden. And stuff is happening in free agency. There's been quite a few signings already, which is a little bit to the surprise of the three of us as we were chatting just before pressing the record button, given the whole CBA uncertainty. But we do have breaking news within the last hour. Robbie Ray was one vote shy of winning the Cy Young Award unanimously. He got 29 of 30 first place votes. Gerrit Cole got the one lone first place vote and 29 second place votes. But what an amazing accomplishment. And Chris, I want to start with you here on this one because, man, I remember when you first started getting on this train back at the end of spring training, and even when Robbie Ray hurt his elbow when he fell down the stairs. And
it was then fine.
His first start. Yeah.
It's then still good. It's still good.
Start ready to go after he walked the world against Kansas City, and then he righted the ship after that. But you called it from day one, man. So how does it feel being somebody who can look into the future, apparently?
Well, I'm no Trevor Plouffe. I'm not the prophet of baseball. Yeah. But you could tell that something was a lot different between like last year and especially spring training with this guy. I don't know. It started out kind of tongue in cheek, just to bug Wes. first of all, and then
so against like, it.
Yeah. And so then I had to double down and really go for it. So then I did. I really wish that I put money on it now. And as
to that point, that was one of the tweets that I actually posted up that right before the show of the B&B podcast, Brant, I think it was. He actually put money down on it on some online thing. $5 for a single entry, $155 return. So pretty shout good. Out to Brant of the B&B podcast for actually literally taking your words apparently to heart.
No, yeah, definitely wish I put some money on it. Wes just informed me that he finally took me seriously in July and put money on it. Now it's up a couple $100. So
nice.
I think he owes you a beer.
One or two at least.
Easily.
But yeah, it's kind of cool. He got 29 first place votes. I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily saw that coming. Cole would have a few more, but it looks like from what I saw, Cole was the only one that didn't show up on the MLB Network special. So maybe he was a little bit bitter about not winning the Cy Young. But you know, don't collapse in September when your team needs you most.
Right. Yeah. He was almost the sole reason the Blue Jays got in near the end there because of a couple of games that he blew up against Cleveland. He blew up a little bit against Toronto in that last series against the Yankees before the Baltimore series. So it was not good sledding for Gerrit Cole in September. And I think if he readied the ship, then he probably would have won going into September when the calendar flipped to that last month of the season. But Craig, what were your initial reactions? Were you surprised? I think we all kind of agree. We were surprised on the 29 of 30 first place votes. Like, I thought it'd be a much narrow. I thought Robbie Ray was going to win, and yeah. All the beat writers were kind of hinting at that as we got closer to the reveal of the Cy Young Award. But I just didn't think it'd be in almost unanimous fashion.
And that's the thing that killed me. I was like, okay, this is going to be one of those not down to the wire kind of things, like the playoffs were this year. It was like, okay, great, you know, might as well have the dueling out right there at the Cy Young Award too. But this time, Blue Jays came out on top, so that wins, all right. But with Gerrit Cole and him being neck and neck into those last 2-3 weeks of the season, I just never in a million years thought it was going to be near unanimous. You know, that one writer had to have been the Yankees writer. I got to save face. I got to be the one guy that votes for my guy, right? That's the only thing that makes any sense to me. Yeah. But
Wilner did that for Montoya, though.
So. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. So to that point, yeah. But it's the perfect thing to that story, to what you were saying, Chris, about how he actually, you know, survives the elbow injury and stuff at the beginning of the season. Literally, maybe the whole defense of his kid falling down the stairs and taking the injury was like the reason that he won the Cy Young Award. If the kid, you know, whatever happens, you know, in the midst of that equation, I don't know. But to that point, you know, he's a great guy. It's good to see him win this whole thing. This is the exclamation point that his career was just short of. And he was trending toward this 2-3 years ago. And to see him finally get it, perfect. And I really, it's well-earned. And all the Blue Jays fans on Twitter and all the Blue Jays players going out on Twitter and actually, you know, mentioning everything in the video that I watched right before I hopped on. Well-deserved. Worked his ass off to get to where he is. And this is, like I said, the exclamation point that he needed. And the only thing that's the downside to this whole thing is obviously now we have to pay a brick of money to get back.
Yeah. And like Robbie Ray was never going to sign before this announcement was being made.
No way.
There's no chance he was ever signing.
Tag on 10 mil.
Yeah, exactly the number I was thinking. Tag on 10, 15
mil. He got an extra 150,000.
He did.
You beat out one of the best pitchers, arguably, in the last 3 years in baseball, in Gerrit Cole. And it's not, you know, when you finally look at these final numbers, guys, it's not as close as it looks, you know,
Ray led
it
almost
ago.
Every category. It was nuts.
Yeah, there's a couple things I saw on Twitter that were actually the posting of.
Let's not forget how good Lance Lynn can be as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I lost the vote numbers, but yeah, he had a few not first place ones, but
yeah, it was a dominant season from start to finish, pretty much, other than those first two starts of the year. He righted the ship right after that, and he was on cruise control for the most part, except for the two games that I seemed to go to during the season where he lost both of them.
So stay away when you're on Robbie Ray Day, Brandon.
Exactly. The two Jays games I went to, Ray pitched both of them, and he lost both of them. And if maybe I stayed away, they'd be in the playoffs and I've won those two games. So blame me all you want for that. But I don't know if any of you caught it or not. We can dive into it a little bit and see what your thoughts are on this. But on Sportsnet, they had Robbie Ray on with Tim and Friends, and they were asking him near the end of the interview. Somebody sent me a clip of it where they said, "You're obviously in free agency now. Just won the Cy Young. Do you have a message for Blue Jays fans who are hoping to see you back?" And he basically said, "I love Toronto, but I'm also really loving the free agency process." And there's a lot of non-committal language, which I don't expect him to use committing language at all, but it's just total opposite of what you've seen from free agents in the past, like David Price, who said, "I would love to come back to Toronto," other free agents in other sports who have said glowing reviews about the city, but then ultimately end up leaving for somewhere else. So, Craig, I'll start with you on this one. Hearing that, I don't know if you heard the interview or not, but that was, I think, a decent summation of what Robbie Ray said. Would you rather him just be perfectly honest? Are you fine with him not like speaking a little more glowingly about it, or just would that be him be perfectly frank and say, "You know what? I'm loving free agency right now. I'm evaluating all my options," because in my mind, I would rather just have him do that instead of getting our hopes up by saying, "Hey, I love it here. I absolutely love it." But I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
It is what it is, right? And obviously he's making sure that he's not, you know, possibly, you know, shitting on potential other suitors in the midst of this argument here with what's going on. But he could have said it a million and one ways. And I would honestly rather hear him, you know, after the fact, if something didn't work out, him continuing to preach the fact that how much he loved playing in Toronto, rather than worrying about saying that right now.
Yeah.
And I think he's going to get the King's ransom right now. He's got everybody hoping and praying to get him there. And after the Verlander news a few minutes even ago and the Syndergaard thing and everything, he's going to get crazy bank. And if the Blue Jays want to step up to the plate and take a swing at it, great. I think we'll get into where I think some of that conversation is going here later.
Yeah.
But I want him back. I love him. I think he's a great fit for this clubhouse and the way this team is constructed. And with some of these other things going on, he doesn't have to be the guy near the end of that contract and whatnot. So, but love Robbie Ray. I love the fact that he was on that interview and he was still happy to talk to those guys, because this is a time I'm just shocked he even did the interview regardless. You know, that was something that was easily one of those phone in a video in a Blue Jay hat and call it a day.
Yeah.
He went on and did live with the gang, so that works.
Chris, how about you?
To be frank, I don't know if you've seen a whole lot of like interviews with Robbie Ray, but he's not exactly in front of the mic a guy. So yeah. To hear that from him, I think that he's obviously going to play his cards really close to his chest, but I don't think he's like, I feel like he's a very reserved type of guy, that isn't going to just pour his heart out there and say all the right things just to say the right things and lead everybody down a path that they don't need to go down. it doesn't matter in the run. Like, I wouldn't read too much into it. Like I said earlier, he was never going to sign before this announcement was being made anyway. Okay. So, and there was a very interesting thing that, I think it was Artonia Ben Nicholson Smith said it. And then I listened to Spin Rate on my way into work this morning as well. And they brought it up, was that Atkins, in his interview on At the Letters, was quite open about, like, congratulating almost Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien for getting to free agency and wanting to let them have that that kind of process and going forward with it. And like, it's a reward for all of the hard work that they put in. So I don't know. I wouldn't read too much into it.
I'm with you. There were some Blue Jays fans who were like, oh, there's a lot of past tense going around here, which is fine. You can read into it however you want. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the beauty of being a fan of this team and a fan of sports in general. You can interpret things the way you want to interpret them, whether they're right or wrong. But at the end of the day, we have no idea what Robbie Ray is going to do. Last few thoughts on him. One more question I'll pose to you guys before we move on to some amazing news that broke yesterday is based on the fact that he's won Cy Young, based on the fact we've seen Noah Syndergaard get a one-year, $21 million contract from the Los Angeles Angels. We've seen Justin Verlander just sign 1 year, $25 million with an option, a player option, for another $25 million with Houston. A lot of money being thrown around early on in free agency. Chris, how optimistic or not optimistic are you feeling about the chances of Robbie Ray coming back to the Toronto Blue Jays?
50-50 right now.
Yeah.
I don't. When I close my eyes and I see Robbie Ray in a uniform, I see the Atlanta Braves.
I could see that. Strikes me as a big Southern guy, too.
I see him looking really, really in an Atlanta Braves hat and uniform. Just like I also, like, I close my, I just had this conversation with Wes, actually, as well. That, like, I close my eyes and I see Steven Matz and I see an Angels hat.
So, that does fit. As much as I don't want to say it either.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I love Robbie Ray. I was on the train all year. I was his biggest supporter all year.
Yeah, I'm writing literally. It's right here.
Picks to click.
I don't know if I want to get into a long-term deal with him. I was so on board for Verlander. So on board. Yeah. I want these guys that are on one or two year crazy deals. Like, back the dump truck up to Scherzer right now on a 2 year deal. Just to get him here. And then after the 2 years, you throw money at somebody else.
Yeah.
But we just
are all our prospects, Vladdy.
And then like, this is going to take us onto a completely different tangent. But like, you can't be locked into guys like Robbie Ray extended period of time on a massive deal. And then what are you going to do with Teoscar? I'm after the Barrios. We'll talk about, okay, we'll talk about this in a minute. you go.
Craig, so, what are your feeling about Robbie Ray's chances of coming back?
Yeah, I got to say this first. He's now the fourth Blue Jay to win a Cy Young award. So, fourth Blue Jay for five awards with Roger Clemens winning back to back. But it's been 18 years since Doc won his, and I think it's about damn time we had a pitcher that we could rely on every day. So that was nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm in the school of thought with where the other news we're going to be talking about here in a minute just derailed the whole idea of me seeing Robbie Ray coming back. And that's unfortunately my opinion. I'd love to have him back, like I'd mentioned. But to the point of what Chris said, I think they're really trying to establish this core of this team going forward. They're trying to establish the money to make sure they know what they're paying.
Yeah.
Yes, Robbie Ray would be known money at that point, but it's going to be expensive money for a player that's a little on the other side of the older side.
Yep.
And I really think they're looking to bank on that fact right there, personally. I would say 60-40 not signing with the Toronto Blue Jays.
I think I am 70-30 going back to the team.
Oh, we're just going
to
keep...
I'm gonna pile it up a little bit more.
I'm optimistic at 50-50.
So you're on the optimistic side of 50-50. So 51-49.
I'm not.
Oh, you're so not.
Do some math.
I look like a hero compared to you guys.
Yeah. No, I don't see it. And look, it very much ties into the conversation we're going to lead into right now. Kind of tiptoed around it to kind of save it, but the big breaking news from yesterday was that Jose Berríos has re-signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. They extended him for 7 more seasons at $131 million. This was news that when I first looked at my phone yesterday morning, there was a verified Twitter account from Puerto Rico, I believe it was, which is where he's from, that was saying that he was coming back on a 7-year, $125 million deal. And a couple Blue Jays fans caught wind of it, were like, oh, okay, Berríos follows the account. That's a good sign. But is this legit? Let's wait until Passan or Ben Nicholson Smith or Arden Zwelling confirms it. And sure enough, it was legit because Jose Berríos is back for 7 more seasons. So, Craig Borden, your initial thoughts on that deal with Jose Berríos. You can tie it into Robbie Ray if you want because it's kind of a natural segue at that point. But I was shocked to see that they lost Berríos, not just the fact that they locked him up, but the fact he's coming off the last 2 full seasons of baseball. He was a 4.1 win pitcher, according to Fangraphs, and that is getting close to ace level stuff. That's kind of like upper end Marcus Stroman. You're kind of like you're a one on a team that doesn't have a true bona fide ace like Robbie Ray was last year, but you're a very good pitcher. You're like a 1A, essentially. I thought for sure Berríos would be coming in with a chance to cash in at free agency, bet on himself, stay healthy like he's done his entire career, and then get paid as one of the best free agent pitchers on the market at still a young age, keep in mind. I think he was going to hit free agency at 28, yes. So that would have been rare. But this is awesome. Like, no other way to say it, Craig. The fact that they got him locked up, considering they gave up to get him, was a huge step in the right direction for this team moving forward.
Yeah, well, I think we talked about this actually at the time of the trade, and I know some Blue Jays fans were actually rather up in arms right after that trade when it happened, just because of the fact that it was, really, this is what Austin Martin and SWR, because he got off to a rough start.
It was very delayed, wasn't it? Because yes. it was like SW, Berríos traded for Simeon Woods Richardson.
And we didn't know
that. And then like 10 minutes later, and Austin Martin.
Yes.
So,
okay.
Yeah, now this ain't so good, but. To that point, I honestly wonder how much of that conversation showed up in the dugout the first time, was like, look, we are going to talk about extending you.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. When you're comfortable having that talk, they were going to have that talk. I'm actually just surprised it happened this soon. I really think it was going to happen inevitably over this coming season. And I was expecting more spring training after free agency was, kind of a little established and ready to go when the CBA and all that stuff was all, established. I figured that's when we worry about extending our players. And I think this just shows the focus of the team going forward here. They want to focus on a young core that is going to be established in here for a long time. This is a guy now you can go out and buy his jersey without having any worry about the fact that he's going to be a Toronto Blue Jay for the next 8 years, basically, right?
Yeah.
So
he does have an opt-out after 5.
Yes, correct.
And I think, that's the security blanket for him, though. But to that, he's still going to be 32 when that happens.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. 32. So that's the safety blanket if he turns into the Cy Young guy like Justin Verlander that signs a 1-year freaking $25 million deal. I honestly think this is where I think that he's going to make the same amount of money from this deal. I think that he would if he turns into that guy 100%. And as a guy that's watched him his whole career being here in Rochester, New York, I'm looking forward to grabbing a Rochester Red Wings jersey and putting Brios on the back and wearing up to the Rogers Center. I've had the luxury of, like I said, watching him here in Rochester for a long time. And there was always something special about watching him here. And then I got to see glimpses of that in Minnesota. He started putting it together for a few years in a row there, but it was still not what I thought he was going to get to. This is a guy that could turn into Robbie Ray in the next 2 years, what we just saw with the Cy Young Award winner. So I'm not terribly worried about where this money went. This is $18 million a year, basically, is what it turns out. He had a 3.2 war last year, so he's already allegedly worth $24 million for a season. Yeah. So if you look about what that's, you know, based out for his contract, he's getting a little bit more upfront here that he wouldn't have gotten, you know, maybe because of arbitration the next year. I think it was this season was his last one. And then obviously he would have been a free agent after this coming season. And I think it's just, like I said, it irons the whole thing out to a nice lump of money that he is going to get one way or the other now. And now he's guaranteed to be in the same place. And clearly he enjoyed it.
Yeah.
In Toronto. Otherwise we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Absolutely.
Chris? I think the most underrated part of this is that he's made 132 or 133 straight starts.
So durable.
Which is ridiculous. And if you know that you have somebody going out there every fifth day, regardless, is so valuable to a team. And the fact that he's getting what, $11 million this year, they bought out his arbitration, that was about what he was supposed to make in arbitration, and then $20 million a year after that.
Yep.
Considering what Rodriguez just got paid for the Tigers, this is such a steal.
It is
such a steal. And granted, I think if you want to look at it, well, was it a steal because you had to get rid of SWR and Austin Martin in this? Well, like, you need a bona fide, like, good starter. And I don't, there's a lot of hesitancy to say that this guy could or couldn't be an ace or whatever. And I really hate the term ace because, like, I think that, like, how many true aces are there in Major League Baseball? Because everybody says, oh, this is our ace and whatever. Remember when, like, Gustavo Chacin was our ace?
Yes.
Like,
that's not every team has ace. Roy Halladay, just saying.
Yeah, that's not an ace. Like, Max Scherzer, he's an ace.
That's an
Kershaw
ace.
In his heyday, he's an ace. Felix Hernandez, when he was rolling, that's an ace. But, like, did the Blue Jays really have an ace this year? I guess you could say Robbie Ray, but, like, he's never done it before. A true ace, I feel you have to do it for a prolonged period. Like, you are the guy that's taking the hill every 5 days and you are expected to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have to expect a win out of Barrios every day, but you want 6 innings of keep me in it.
Yes.
Every that's what he'll do.
And to that point, he's been doing that his whole career consistently, yeah. Like you said.
Yeah, like he
every day.
He threw to what, a three and a half ERA this year?
I think it was 3-something. Yeah, he was near the leaders for a little while there.
I know people don't like ERA, but, like, whatever. So he threw 192 innings this year, 204 strikeouts, 32 games started, went 12-9. That's not indicative of anything because he pitched for the Twins for half an hour. Yeah. But 3.2 WAR and 3.52 ERA with a 1.06 WHIP. Like, that's super valuable at $20 million a
definitely
year.
Definitely so.
Is a joke.
Yeah.
And now, to that point, look how it's actually declined outside the COVID season. His WHIP is going like this.
Yeah. he's getting better. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Here are my two very big takeaways of this. With extending Barrios, people are like, oh, well, this takes them out of signing this or that or whatever. That's a load of shit.
Yes.
Because Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro both said, we are adding this year. Jose Barrios, don't know if any of you people know this, But he was going to be on this team regardless next year. So
it's not an ad.
That's just making sure he's here a little bit longer than what he was supposed to.
Exactly.
But to that point, even you're not adding monies. You're expecting to pay him for arbitration this year anyways.
Yeah,
so
you're going to pay somebody like Ryu's going to be coming off the books in a couple of years. Like what you're paying Barrios this year is basically what you're paying is coming off of Tanner Roark from last year. Like not to mention like whatever they were still paying Yamaguchi.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
here's my biggest hot take, maybe not hot take, that I think comes of this. Now that they've locked up Barrios, I don't believe that they will lock up Hernandez.
Okay. That will
wait till next year.
Kind of thing. Or not at all. Interesting.
I think at some point they're going to have to figure something out with the kids when they're doing something like this with Barrios.
Well, exactly. And I fully believe that this team is going to be very large players for Seager.
For Corey.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that's the big chip to fall period right now.
Which will definitely take them out of the Teoscar re-up.
They'll try to trade
Teoscar for pitching.
Interesting.
At some point.
That's the Chris Key hot take of the episode, everybody.
Yeah, there you go.
Sponsor us, and then you got a segment there. But no, I'm with you guys. I mean, I was shocked that he decided to take the financial security now. Maybe not, because he's just looking at like, hey, I have a very good offer in front of me for the next 7 years where I'm set and can get $131 million. What happens if he didn't take that and he went and blew out his arm and you hit free agency and oh, you're screwed, man. Like now you got to go on a prove it deal and you can be gone forever. This just makes me think that as soon as he got here, the Blue Jays made their intentions very clear. They're like, man, we paid two of our top 10 prospects to get you here. We want you. We believe in you. We think there's another level in you to go to. And Craig, Chris, I think we're on the same page here, especially you, Craig, from seeing him in Rochester. I still think there's another level of Barrios. I think he's very much at a Marcus Stroman level right now. They're very similar in a lot of their numbers. I think Barrios can take that up another notch, maybe get closer to a 5-win pitcher on Fangraphs, maybe even 5.5. The arsenal is getting better. His changeup to lefties is getting better every single year. His fastball and his curveball are filthy. So the fact that they have Barrios locked up for 7 more years, they have Ryu for another 2, and they have Alek Manoah for the extendable, like for the foreseeable future, because he's not even close to reaching arb yet. And then you make your decision. Your rotation is set at the top 3 for now, as of right now. But
are you going to be as bold as to say Barrios for Cy Young 22?
We did it 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Both of us picked him for 2019.
A couple of years ago to break out after 2018 even more. I might put some money on it. I would not be surprised. A full offseason and spring training and working with Pete Walker, maybe that's how that other level gets attained from Jose Barrios. Good call. We will give you your
betting. He was nasty when he came over. Like, yes. Super nasty. What were his numbers when he came to Toronto? You guys keep talking, and I'll find this out.
He's going to keep digging.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But to that point,
I have to figure out how Baseball Reference works really quick.
You guys both just like to use Baseball Reference. I'm all about Fangraphs.
Sometimes fumbling around their charts doesn't help.
Yeah, I got to stick with I got to stick with one program, or else I get seriously confused and just thrown around all over the place.
Absolutely.
So, here we go. So he went. Why is his red field really shitty? He went 5-4 with the Jays. Huh.
It's because of those two rough ones. But to that point, though, I wonder how much of him staying was knowing that this offense is going to be ridiculous for probably that contract.
Oh, yeah.
I
mean, he wants to
clearly
love
his time here.
So
exactly.
3.58 ERA. Gave up 30 runs, 28 earned. Gave up 8 home runs. That's not great. And 12.
The home
starts.
Run ball did hurt him a little bit when
I think that's fixable, though.
Yeah. I do too.
78 strikeouts, 123 ERA plus, 3.28 FIP. Yeah, so like he was good, but he could be better.
But to that point, it was the same.
And I think he will be better.
He, again, very much like Marcus Stroman, you're going to get very often more often than not, you're going to get 6 innings, 3 runs or less every single time. There will be starts where he goes 7 or 8 innings and strikes out 12, as we saw a couple times. And then there's going to be a couple outings where he just gets absolutely rocked and is out by after 2 2/3. Stroman did that quite often during his Blue Jays tenure, and I don't see that changing for Berríos. But they haven't locked up, and the top three, at least, of this rotation is settled right now. And the Blue Jays did apparently make a run at Eduardo Rodríguez before he signed with the Detroit Tigers. I've been told that run was a little exaggerated, that it wasn't as much as John Heyman and other reporters made it out to be. But with that being said, you have two spots theoretically open, unless you want to give one to Ross Stripling, then you have one spot open. But open. All right, let's just operate on the assumption they're going to add two starters. Now they have Berríos, you have Ryu, and you have Alek Manoah as your top three as of moment. Craig, what direction does this team go? Eduardo Rodríguez was a target. He's off the board. Noah Syndergaard was apparently a target. He's off the board. And Justin Verlander, they were very much in on. He opted to go back to Houston. So what's next? Make a run at Scherzer? Do they go for Kevin Gausman? Are they obviously going to try to make a run at bringing back Robbie Ray, but start to plant seeds elsewhere in the event that he doesn't come back? Where do you go from here to at least fill one of the spots between now and Christmas?
So what I'm thinking right now, they're philosophy is, and you can chalk off 90% of those guys you just listed off in free agency outside of Max Scherzer. Because I think they want to bring in that guy like Verlander that would have just take this thing to the next level, to the point where ridiculous in that rotation, right? Outside of him, this is a full on, I'm trading to get that other guy and I'm going to invest in a bat with the money. I would be shocked with the teams that are selling pitching right now between the Reds, the Miami Marlins, and the Oakland A's. There is a lot of pitching thrown out on that trade market, and a lot of bats even to that point. But I don't, as much as I'd love to see Matt Chapman, I don't think anything's happening. I really would think they're going to make a good run for Sean Manaea with one, Pablo Lopez being another, and then Luis Castillo being, I think, the big prize. And I think they have the trade assets for two of those teams to really market themselves well. And I will be shocked if there's anything left hot top prospect list wise left in our top two major league or top two minor league teams come spring because of this whole situation.
Wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we saw
because they do that. I'm not worried about that because now I got every damn position filled for the next 2 years and I go back and draft those guys.
Absolutely. And we've already seen John Heyman put out there that the Blue Jays and the Marlins match up extremely well. I don't know if that was just his take on the situation, or if he's heard things, or maybe there's been discussions. But for Blue Jays fans who aren't overly familiar with some of those names that you mentioned, like Pablo Lopez, not a lot of Blue Jays fans would be familiar with him. Eliezer Hernandez or Sandy Alcantara, a lot of names people wouldn't be familiar with, but all three are very good. And I'm pretty sure Pablo Lopez was a 3.5 to 4 win pitcher this past year for the Marlins. That's another Jose Berríos that you're adding into your rotation. And he's under control for the next, I think it's 3 or 4 years. So if you're moving off Kirk, that would be a move I'm all for. So Craig, tell us about some of those. If you had a target that you wanted to pick of some of those trade candidates you mentioned Manaea, you mentioned Castillo, you mentioned Lopez. There's still a couple other Marlins. There's maybe a couple other Cincinnati Reds. Who would be your top choice to make a trade, let's say, involving Alejandro Kirk?
So do you want me to say the one that's the most likely or the one I want?
go with both. Go with who you think is most likely and then what your heart wants.
Yeah, the one I want, because I've seen a little bit of him in the minor leagues too. I want Luis Castillo. I think he fits as the win now guy out of all. But I think the long-term buy right now would be grabbing Pablo Lopez, and I think that is the more reality, because unfortunately it's starting to sound like Sandy Alcantara is getting sniffed at by some other teams pretty efficiently that have a little bit more prospect capital than us. But Pablo Lopez, like you said, that's the equivalent of adding another mid-rotation guy to this freaking team. And right now, if you do that, that's the difference in the world. As much as we would love to grab the Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer of the world, this is a plan for the future. And I think that's exactly what the Berríos deal just showed the cards a little bit for the Toronto Blue Jays. They're going to be able to dump the money in, I think, on free agency that they want. But like I said, I think they're going to be able to go and fill these holes one of those guys that we have been talking about in Blue Jays prospect land is going to get traded.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be avoidable. They're just not going to be trading, I don't think, anything at the major league level outside of somebody like Randall Grichuk as a throw-in or anybody like that, or one of our many catchers. But I think the rest of the roster is pretty solid, but they need to fill pitching base. And if they can upgrade a catcher for a temporary, that's great. But Gabriel Moreno is going to be another Bobichette Vlad coming into this team in the next, maybe this year. I really don't know. That Arizona Fall League shit's nuts.
there's some very good performances as we dissected last week. Chris, same question to you. Out of some of the trade targets or even on free agency, I think we've all made our attentions clear that Max Scherzer would be absolutely incredible and that we're fine to back up the Brinks truck for him. But in terms of some of those trade names and trade candidates that we've heard, who would be your top choice to go and grab, assuming that Alejandro Kirk is the main piece going to the other team?
See, I don't even know. Sorry, I'm going down a rabbit hole of names. And like, if they're
Taro
not
Taro Oxfree.
Oh, fuck off. If you're not gonna go out and back the truck up for Scherzer, like, I don't know if I want to waste a bunch of money on Gosman. Waste a bunch of money, I guess that's a bad term, but like, Gosman enough doesn't money. Really do it for me. Like, if you're gonna go after Gosman, just go and get Ray. But, like, how do you guys feel about, like, instead of a Steven Matz, if that doesn't work, like, as a fourth or a fifth guy, like a John Gray kind of, you're not going to have to break the bank on him, or even Kikuchi is kind of a name that raises my eyebrow a little bit and makes me kind of hum and haw about.
I think that's the safety net move. In.
Yeah, which I don't even know. Like, you're still going to have to do that because we need, in all reality, we need two starting pitchers. We need somebody to play third base. We need somebody to play second base. And we need probably two relievers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So relievers are a dime a dozen. You're going to find somebody to throw an inning here or there, even in the middle of spring training. Like, we had Liriano, who was throwing really well out of the bullpen at the end of last year, and then I think basically disappeared off the face of the planet. I don't know if anybody actually picked him up or did anything with him.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't see the Blue Jays getting Castillo. I just don't. I feel like if that was going to happen, it was going to happen some point before now, because they've been linked to him so often before that I feel like that it probably would have already happened. I keep seeing like Bassett coming up. Lopez really intrigues me. I just, like, what is it going to take to get one of the Florida starting pitchers? Just
a catcher.
Well, a catcher.
And plus, probably Kevin Biggio.
Wouldn't be surprised if Kevin Biggio, Kevin Smith, somebody on that ilk.
Santiago Espinal, as much as I don't want to say it.
No, they wouldn't want Espinal.
Plus a pitcher, a younger pitcher.
Okay, here's the thing about Santiago Espinal. He's only valuable to this team.
Yeah, agreed.
He's not valuable to anyone else out there.
Not as a full-time player.
Not as a full-time player, because how many Santiago Espinals are there out there?
A ton.
Exactly. So
I'm going to make this a terrible declaration that nobody's going to like. We're going to get a third baseman to really play third base. We're going to lose Kirk and Biggio, and then we're going to get stuck with Santiago Espinal playing second base all day.
Which is fine.
Which is fine with that, too.
Which is fine. Which is fine. Which is fine as long as you don't break the bank on all your prospect capital so you can go and get somebody to play second base at the deadline.
We have that, too.
Like that's your play at the deadline, then, is relief pitching, because you always need to get more relief pitching, and somebody to play second base.
Yeah.
Which is fine, because second base, as long as you have somebody to fucking catch the ball there.
Ryan Goins was the primary second baseman in 2015. They'll be fine with like an or somebody like that.
Exactly.
But Kevin Seitzer said he was going to be the next big hitter.
Oh, lovely.
Fine. I don't know. as long as they don't break the bank on the prospect, I'm having such horrible anxiety that they're going to break the bank on Jose Ramirez.
I do too, and it's going to involve Lourdes.
It scares the crap out of me. You can't get rid of... Okay, here's my whole wrap my head around this crap. If you're talking about adding and getting better, you cannot go out and get Jose Ramirez and subtract Lourdes from this ball team. You're not making yourself better at that point. Sorry, you're making yourself... You're making yourself better in one aspect, but you're not making the team better as a whole. Because then Randall Grichuk is playing right field all year.
Unless he upgrade that spot that you subtract from.
Who?
That's the only thing I said. I think we were talking about this last week. Maybe you turn around and pay Starling. Yeah.
Fine.
If the conversation at the end of the day comes down to, do you give big bucks to Lourdes or to Oscar Hernandez, whichever one you don't give big bucks to and choose to do that, the other one's traded and it's for Jose Ramirez, sign me up all day.
Well, because we just found out this week that Lourdes has 1 year less on his contract than what we all originally thought.
Yeah. Exactly. So they're going to have to make a choice on him or Teoscar soon. And right now, I'd probably say Oscar, to be perfectly honest with you. Especially after
to that point, that's why nothing's happening right now.
Yeah, exactly. Because
they're going to let this year play out, and then they're going to pay somebody. But if I'm sniffing around the third base thing, guys, I can get Chapman so much fucking cheaper right now than worrying about Jose Ramirez.
I would do Chapman and Minaya. Chapman and Bassett or somebody like that.
I would do Chapman right now before I would do Ramirez. And then that's not a slight on Ramirez at all. Like, he's an MVP player. But you can't, if we're going to lose Robbie Ray and Marcus Semien, we need to figure out how to make this team better by losing them and adding to make this team better.
Yeah,
it's like that scene of Moneyball where they're like, how do we replace Giambi and Damon and whatever?
And Isringhausen.
Like with these home runs and this and that, whatever. And then they're like, no, we're trying. It's exactly that. Like you can't say that we're going to get better and we're going to add without actually doing that and making the team better. It's. I don't know. Lourdes doesn't do that for me.
Right.
That Chapman thing screams Blue Jay move to me, though. He's on an off year last year.
Let's fleece the still 28. Third baseman.
Yeah. I'm all
what's Brad Lurie doing these days?
Yeah.
I'd call him up. Here's a sixer of Red Bulls. Go out there and play.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah, it's going to be interesting, guys. There's a lot of options. There's a lot of teams that have made their young pitchers available for trade and very well known. I can't go from the Marlins and the match there. I just think that's a match made in heaven for both. It makes too much sense. A lot of beat writers have already picked that up. And Pablo Lopez screams a Blue Jay acquisition to me, a guy that not everybody's going to be familiar with. I did overhype him a little bit. He's only worth 2.3 wins, according to Fangraphs, but his strikeouts every year ticking up. His walks are going down. His ERA is going down. His FIP is going down. He's a guy who's getting better and better and better, and he averaged 94 miles per hour in his fastball last year. You can replace Robbie Ray with Pablo Lopez, probably not with the success, but still very good success. There's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot. I would not be surprised to see a pitcher signed via trade or acquired via trade, and then you dip into what you were suggesting, Chris, a John Gray or somebody in those lines. And there's your five with Ross Stripling as your sixth guy for insurance.
Which, like, you could do a lot worse than having John Gray as your number five.
Absolutely. And he screams the next Robbie Ray to me, and I think people are also picking up on that. If you fix John Gray, you can have a guy who could be a Cy Young candidate because he's had this stuff forever. It's just Colorado's a dumpster fire organization.
Well, yeah, and pitching in Colorado wouldn't help him at all either.
No, absolutely not. It's always weirded me out that certain guys like Germán Márquez and Yuli Chacín a couple years ago were able to pitch very well, but nobody else ever seemed to be able to. But that's because Márquez is really damn good. And that's another name that we went through a lot this past offseason as Germán Márquez, and that's been silent on his front. So maybe they strike and get Márquez as well, depending on what the Rockies want to do, because they can't seem to make up their mind about what they want to do. Dumb organization. Anything else that you guys
meanwhile, want to add? Meanwhile, they cash in on what? Blackman's option? It's like, yeah. Why don't you just trade? Let him go.
Or, you know, we're not going to trade John Gray, but we're also not going to qualify him to try to keep him around. What? We're going to lose him for nothing. Very weird. Anything else? Any other pitching targets that you guys had? We can go into the third base conversation. We've kind of dipped our toes in there already. I know it wasn't on the agenda, but if you want to go into third base, or do you guys want to move on to the other awards that have been given out so far?
I don't know. I don't see anybody on the infield, like, other than Chris Taylor, but I don't think I want him playing third base. I just don't think that there's anybody out there, other than Seager.
Yeah.
But, like, he's going to cost you a boatload of money.
Huge money. Huge money.
And, like, you know, here, you know the best part about this whole Verlander signing with Houston thing is he didn't go to the Yankees.
Yeah, absolutely.
And apparently the Yankees are out on top tier shortstops. And there was another article that Steinbrenner is advocating for a lower luxury tax, and this, like, there's something going on in Yankee land that I think is coming from the top that isn't allowing them to be the big bad Yankees.
I hope so. I really hope so.
There's some penny
pinch. It'd be nice to see them just fall out of it for a minute.
there's some penny pinch there that is very, very interesting.
But it's really odd because they were in the conversation allegedly with Verlander right to the end, just like the Blue Jays and the Red Sox.
Well,
other three teams, right?
That could have been used as leverage, though. But apparently the offer that the Yankees gave Verlander last week or earlier this week was 1 year and $10 million.
What, really?
That's, yeah.
Isn't that less than what they just paid Corey Kluber on one year?
Yep.
Kluber was 112, and that blew up.
I would have to find who tweeted that, but it was a verified account. So.
Oh, wow. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. So, you might be onto something, Chris. It does seem like the signs they put out early on, we know that they've kind of done that in the past, and they've proven us wrong and gone against what they've said, but it does seem like some things are adding up to not be as big of players as
they're gonna have to figure out what they're gonna do with Aaron Judge as well, right?
Well, they got to pay those guys soon too, right?
Yeah, so they're gonna have to pay him. The worst thing that ever happened to the Yankees in the last, I don't know, 10 years,
Stanton
is Stanton. That's why he's handcuffed that team so bad,
and now Cole too,
so bad. But Cole's giving
them. Cole's gonna pay off.
Yeah,
Cole's you don't even know if freaking Stanton's gonna be able to get off the bench.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know.
Go
ahead, Craig.
Go ahead. That point, though, that maybe the chink is showing in the armor for the Yankees. And like I said, if they don't spend money on one of those big shortstops, they're missing out on an opportunity. Or throwing money out, like we were saying, at Marcus Semien to bring it back.
Okay, now I close my eyes, and when I picture Marcus Semien, I see him in pinstripes.
I can see that too, because he won't cost a Seager or Correa. Like I
could also see them going after Trevor Story.
I think, well, and they've already said they're out on Story.
Yeah.
Oh, so that was the one that made too much sense to me, because they have Mayhew already there on the Keystone with them, and they can't figure out what the fuck's going on with Gleyber Torres. So if he can't come into spring training and hit, your middle infielders, LeMahieu and for the Yankees, and then Trevor Story, because they were already a double play combo in Colorado for how many years? Yeah. Yankee move.
Yeah.
But absolutely. I hope they're not doing shit, because that this means the market's going to fall down too.
Yeah. And I hope the Red Sox don't do anything either, because they scream to me a team ready to crumble at any time based on what we saw a couple times this past season.
They need to throw money at it right now or we want to keep going in. And I don't think the money thing fixes it.
No, I don't either with the Boston Red Sox. Anything else? Speaking of third base targets really quick, we went through last week, Chris, a list that Craig found from Ian Hunter on potential infield targets, and two names that kind of were on the more favorable side of ish. None of them were overly exciting, but that just kind of strikes me as a move that you kind of do as a stopgap until you have maybe Moreno transition over to third base. That's an option. But Eduardo Escobar was a name that we were both a little bit favorable on. Guy who's coming off at 30 plus home runs each of the last couple seasons. And Greg, the other one was Kyle Seager, I believe. I just cannot get Kyle Seager out of my head as a third baseman, at least for this year, maybe next year.
I wouldn't
the number one likely was Corey Seager, though.
I wouldn't touch Kyle Seager with a 10-foot pole.
I think they are. I don't know why.
I don't want any part of Kyle Seager. You might as well trade it for Joey Gallo.
Yeah,
and
that's another one the Yankees get to deal with.
He's a big left-handed bat that is going to strike out too much. That doesn't complement this lineup. The one thing that complements this lineup is they need bat-to-ball skills, and Kyle Seager does not have any kind of bat-to-ball skills.
He struck out quite a bit this year, almost 25%.
Yeah. Meanwhile, his brother gets on base like crazy. So
yeah. So go for his brother.
Apparently, Kyle Seager. He's obviously playing third base, but Corey Seager is open to playing third base.
Oh, sign me up, please.
That fixes everything right there. Then you still keep Bo Bichette and we do what we're just talking about.
Absolutely.
Worst case scenario, you have to hope something goes right at second base. I'm all right with that. Because if you just pay Corey Seager to play third base, you still got Kevin Biggio, too.
Yeah, Kevin and Kevin Smith scream the platoon for next year at second base.
Yeah.
I'd be more than fine with Espinal and Biggio at second base.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Biggio's going to have to do something in spring.
Yeah.
Biggio is absolute horseshit on third base. He's absolute shit.
Move him back to second, please.
But second base, he's fine.
Yeah.
He's perfectly adequate at second base. Well, because
I think they were just hoping and praying.
Yeah, they wanted him to be some super utility player, and they had their hands tied because Vladdy couldn't play third base. He still can't play third base. And they needed...
Never again.
No, and they needed something to hit, and they thought that Biggio can play everywhere else in the field, so why can't you play third base? But left side of the infield is a completely different animal than the right side of the infield.
Absolutely.
If he had a little bit more arm, I think he would have been all right, but he's trying to do the same stuff he did at second base with transferring the ball and everything. You can't do it when the ball's coming right at you and you're running toward first base.
He's too long and lanky to play third base.
Yeah, I think I'm with you.
Is what it comes down to.
Well, let's move on to the other that's kind of floated around this team, not so much on the hot stove side of things, but more so on some of the awards that we can talk through quickly. Alek Manoah didn't even come close to sniffing Rookie of the Year. I don't think I was too surprised at that, to be perfectly honest, just based on when he came up. I knew he was really damn good. I thought maybe a little bit more, but at the end of the day, it didn't shock me. Charlie Montoyo finished fourth in Manager of the Year voting. We now know Robbie Ray won the Cy Young. And then tomorrow, Vlad and Marcus Semien go up against Shohei Ohtani for MVP. So, Chris, start with you. Manoah, Montoyo, what are your thoughts? Justified where they finished? Did you think one should have gotten better than the other and been a little bit more in the conversation? You can take it with Montoyo or Manoah, whichever way you want to go first.
Manoah surprised me that he wasn't higher, and I don't know if that's just kind of a homer stance or not, but like looking at his numbers compared to some of the other guys, like Manoah was far and away better. And I don't know, when did he come up? May?
It was May. I think it was end of May.
So, like, to say that he didn't have as much time as everybody else, like, it was only a month.
Yeah.
Which for a rookie isn't sad, because typically rookies get held back a little bit for contractual issues or whatever. I guess I was a little bit surprised where he ended up. Montoyo, I guess there was a minute of playing in how many different home ballparks and whatever, but I think he might have had a better shot if the Jays got in and made a run. I know it's more to do with the regular season, whatever, but that does play a factor of what you do in the playoffs, I'm sure, or at least getting there. Who won the AL? It was Kevin Cash, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Is that really that shocking, though?
yes. To me, I'm blanking so hard on the Mariners coach.
Scott Servais,
that's it. I'm floored that he didn't win.
I thought he was going to win too. That team overperformed like crazy just based on the talent they had and the run differential.
Yeah. I'm floored that they didn't win, or he didn't win. So,
yeah.
Craig,
that's my only thoughts.
It was very raised for them to steal the Manager of the Year award, just saying.
Yeah. It's because they stole the lineup card.
Yeah, that was why he got it. Is that, well, that move alone.
And the Cash is one of the very few ever. Managers that manages anymore as well, though. Like, he's always making moves and doing this and that. So whether they're premeditated or whatever. But,
yeah.
So I'm just going to throw this out there. Out of looking at the Rookie of the Year award stuff here, is really Alek Manoah the worst pitcher on this list?
No.
In my opinion, he's McClanahan that didn't pitch as many innings as Manoah did. Then you go up to the guy that actually was the runner up was Luis Garcia. And outside of the innings thing, he pitched about 40 less innings. They're the same damn guy on paper. And the walk, you know, the walks were way better for Manoah, and the K's were right up in there too. So not to mention how many starts, what was the record that he did for us?
Manoah?
Yeah, he did something that I forget what it was. He starts with six innings.
Oh, yeah.
Or something for a rookie. Major League, or it was at least a team record. I wanted to say it was closer to the
Major League record too.
Or tied it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But either way, that I thought that achievement alone would have been enough. He's obviously one of the better pitchers we had, especially down the stretch. But to that point, Luis Garcia did pitch well, and I'm not shocked that Rosarena won. I just don't think it's fair giving it to him when he had the outcoming that he did last year. Not fair.
I think that played a part in it for sure.
Yeah, the fact that he even qualified as a rookie for this season, I thought was weird, with literally making a major league postseason home run record in the midst of that whole thing. But don't worry about that. Forget about it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on, well, I guess I just feel like Manoah wasn't really talked about or known very much outside of Toronto, and maybe the people who are a little bit more into baseball as a whole than just following one team. I just don't feel like I saw Manoah too much talked about by beat writers as the season went along. I just don't feel he got the attention he truly deserved, and I don't know why that's the case, because he had a good season. So thinking of that and visualizing it and not hearing him talked about very much on television, on MLB Network and other spots, I guess I'm not surprised at the end of the day where he ended up finishing. Montoya, I thought, might have gotten a little bit more love just because they missed it by one game. They won 91 games in this season, just a full season removed from a terrible 2019. And they just missed and playing in three different locations without a home until they finally got home. I thought that would carry a little bit more weight. But at the end of the day, looking at the other candidates, I'm not upset. I'm not surprised that he finished fourth. I'm with you, Chris, all the way. I thought Scott Servais won. The Mariners, I don't know how they stayed in it until the last day of the season. They managed to outperform every metric possible, and he got the most out of their players. Whatever that means, baseball these days, he set the lineups up that were constructed the best for his guys. And it was fun again in Seattle for baseball fans who playoff races and wild card races have been kind of a thing the last 20 something years since they made the playoffs, but always seemed to fade out. They at least made it to the last day and ultimately end up missing it. But yeah, I thought Scott Servais should have won for sure on that, but Kevin Cash takes it. Oh, well.
Here's something I found scrolling Twitter the other night, was somebody had mentioned about Manoah and that he used the hit by pitch to his advantage very well
to scare people.
Yeah, so it was basically
from fucking Bull Durham.
Yeah, it was basically scaring the living shit out of his opponents to make them uncomfortable. And
he pulled a Randy Johnson, John Kruk, huh?
Yeah, they gave I forget who it was. It was somebody super random, but they posted like very specific examples, and one of them was like in LA where he hit a couple of batters and then the rest of the game LA looked terrible, like with their swings, because they looked super nervous and just like taking weird hacks at balls. And
funny, actually. I might have to find that article, because that sounds like an interesting read, just because of the minor league baseball he played. What? Right.
Yeah, it wasn't even an article, it was just a Twitter thread. I'll have to try and find. I think it was
to
one
that
of those
point.
I think it was one of those
1:30 pitches.
Yeah, it was one of those 1:30 and scrolling through Twitter, and I found it. And
yeah,
it was just entertaining.
About fair.
If he was going to get beaten in a category by Garcia, that was one he easily got beaten in. Four for Garcia, 16 for Alek Manoah.
Yeah, no kidding.
only in 111 innings. We'll see how that extrapolates in a whole season going forward. But I am very excited to have Alek Manoah and him and Jose Berríos guaranteed to be in this rotation for like a decade.
No, locking up those two guys for forever for the next like 5, 6, 7 years. Amazing. And it's a great start to their rotation.
Pearson is good next year.
He'll be good.
It's a hell of a steal.
He'll be good in the bullpen.
He will be good in the bullpen, but what if he's a good starter?
I mean, he takes the leap like Manoah just did and puts it together, then there's zero excuse for missing the playoffs this season.
what if?
Oh, it'd be amazing if he puts it together finally. They need that. That would be absolutely incredible.
Because, like, who could probably be the one to answer this, but, like, who on the pitching radar is next to come up?
Oh, and, you don't want to know.
Good.
Getting into like, the Joey Murrays of the world and whatnot. And
But we know Joey Murray. But like
the high ceiling guys are too far away. Like Klopfenstein still probably another year or two. CJ Van Eyck, same thing.
He was hurt, wasn't
he? Zach Lowe had a really good year in Double A.
Like Manoah was supposed to be 2 years away last year, though.
Yeah.
Like what I will give Atkinson.
We have a lot of hitters in this list.
They are not afraid to make that jump.
Right. Yeah.
Like Manoah came up. Did he even pitch for Buffalo?
Very briefly, I think.
I'd just say it was a blip on the radar compared.
But went from A ball to
pretty much
Triple A.
Yeah. Cause they
then, like yeah. And
there's not any Blue Jays prospects that pitch above Double A right now on our list. Like,
but like, Murray. It's not uncommon for pitchers to go from Double A to the majors. It's no.
A lot of that's because New Hampshire's in the Eastern League, and that's a very competitive Double A league.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think anybody's there quite yet. But
no. I think maybe towards the trade deadline of next year, we'll hear somebody like a Klopfenstein or a Van Eyck start to be like, okay, this guy's getting some serious consideration for a September call-up. And then they go into spring training with a chance to win a job.
If they're not all traded.
Yeah, if they're not.
Yeah. I did forget that Zach Logue actually did pick the Bisons at the end of the season. So Logue? He was with the Bisons at the end of the season. So if it's not Joey Murray, he would be the next guy. The next guy, Bowden Francis, I think he's destined to be a reliever. He'd be an interesting guy to watch in spring training for a bullpen candidate, dark horse guy. But I just see him having the right-handed stuff to be a starter in the major leagues. But I hope he surprises me because he's got a nasty curveball.
I'll ask one more really stupid question, and then I'll let you guys keep doing your thing. Over under on Mourinho making the opening day roster.
Under. Over where the over under is.
You guys are crazy. He's gonna be on it. Under. He's gonna be on it.
Yeah, that's your bold prediction. You've had like three of those this show.
No.
Yeah, we have to document these to go back to when
he's gonna be on the opening day roster.
Yeah, I mean, if he ends up making the opening day roster, that's going to be like how I called that freaking Troy Tulowinski was going to be on the team before 2015 or in spring training that year.
So, yeah, he'll
just saying
he'll be on the team
as a catcher or third base because there's talk of him playing third base. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he can play third base. So that's fine. I don't care
with that.
As long as his bats and I don't care where he plays. He can play center field.
Yeah.
To that point, regardless if he does start the team with the team out of spring training or not, he is going to take first team reps with the pitching staff in spring training.
Easily.
Yeah, and he's going to be on the cusp of what are we talking about? What's going on with Mourinho down in AAA tonight? You know, it's going to be that constant watch.
Yeah. If he isn't on the team on opening night, it'll be like one of those April 23rd.
It's the Vlad thing.
Whatever. If that doesn't change with the CBA and whatever.
Exactly.
So to that point, though, he's on the 40-man roster already.
Yeah.
So I think he's already technically in that service time thing.
No, it doesn't happen until you get up.
It doesn't happen? Okay. Regardless of the fact that he's on the 40-man roster.
Yeah, you can be on the 40-man roster, but until you're on the 26-man, that's when your clock starts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like something's got to with the catching unit though, because we have what, five catchers still on the
Yeah.
On the 40 man, Kirk will be traded.
McGuire will release. Probably.
I think
they're going to slip him through waivers while they can.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah,
no, I don't think he'll slip through waivers again. Like, he was just valuable enough that some team would take him on just.
The Pirates.
Pirates would take him. Yeah, Pirates would take him back for sure.
As Ben Cherington move written all over it right there. I was surprised that wasn't what happened already, personally.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be surprised.
They just dropped their other catcher, too. So, whatever you want to take it as.
Final question of the night, Jim. Does Vlad or Simeon beat Shohei Ohtani out for MVP tomorrow? Craig?
As much as he should, the MLB writers have got a hard-on for Shohei.
So. Is it closer than Robbie Ray versus Gerrit Cole, Chris?
Yes, but only marginally.
But Vlad
should still win.
Vlad will get a couple first place votes. I think he might get 5 to 10, and then Ohtani gets the rest.
There'll be the old traditionalists that sway Vlad's way. Like, who would pick Vlad overwhelmingly? Like, somebody like a Jeff Blair type.
Well, all the Blue Jays writers will pick Vlad number one and Ohtani number two. Simeon is
I don't even think so. Because
Simeon should get a couple, too.
Arden Zwelling and Ben Nicholson-Smith have a giant hurt on for Shohei. So, I don't know.
Vlad should win it,
and they should just make up a new award for Ohtani because he's
going to be the Ohtani award for being Ohtani.
To me, Shohei won this year, and if he has the same type of year next year, like, he won't even be on the spectrum to win. Because it's the same kind of thing in the NBA that, like, LeBron should win every year because he's consistently the best player every single year. Or
Mike Trout
is consistently the best player in baseball every year, but he doesn't win every year. Like, there comes a point where it's just expected of you. And I hope that if Vlad repeats his 2021 season, that people aren't like, he did this last year.
Right.
And I think that biggest thing on the whole thing that kills me on the whole Ohtani winning this year thing is the fact that I get that they're looking at it as the collective, right? He wasn't a Cy Young level pitcher, and he wasn't an MVP level hitter. I figure he needed to stand out in one of those a little bit more for me to be really tipping him into that fact of being an MVP. But maybe that's my fact. Being extreme above average in both categories, right? That's why I'm saying it, but I don't know. What do I know? But to that point, Vlad had a season for the ages, especially at his age.
And yeah.
The fact that this is the reason they had the Hank Aaron Award as well, just because of pitchers winning over the years and everything like that and everything. I will give you right now that Shohei Ohtani is easily the MVP for the Angels this season, but I can't say even in all baseball that he was the MVP. So,
unfortunately, Vlad's MVP is going to have to wait. Ohtani, but Vlad will get one or two throughout the course of his career. And who knows what Marcus Semien does the rest of the way for him either. And who knows if he's back. We'll save that for another episode. Is there any final questions, comments, concerns, topic we'll bring up before we... do two claps and Ric Flair. I couldn't think of a fun game to end it, Craig, so I don't know if you came up with one.
I got one.
Okay, there you go. Take it away.
I banged my head against the desk until a few useful things falled out. It's all right.
take it away.
All right, we've been talking free agency and what the way to fix this. Without picking a top-tier name from Blue Jays past, so I'm saying take out Roy Halladay, the Roberto Alomars, the guys that literally are on the level of excellence, right? For our team's current need, plug the hole in one of the current Blue Jays needs with a previous Blue Jay great.
You're going right to the bottom of Santa's sack.
So I'm going to give you the example I came up here with. And it's not the best of things, but it would help improve the team offensively. Third base is obviously a hole that we've been talking about. I would think adding somebody in the ballpark of a Troy Gloss increases the team's winning percentage because you're going to be adding offense and enough defense to base.
Huh. Josh,
that
Donaldson.
Was my example pick.
Josh, yeah, but he's a star though.
I said level of excellence level. That's why I'm saying next level down. Somebody you could have acquired, somebody that we liked. I fucking went Tony Batista on me at third base, and I still would have given you points.
my first thought was Ed Sprague, but I think I have a biased opinion of how good he actually was.
You're married to the 92 home run.
Not even, because like I was running around in diapers at that point. So
I forgot. I'm just that. I was at 37. I'm just that much older than you guys. I forgot.
Josh Donaldson counts, right? Turn. Like that's what I bring.
He's
back.
Not on the level of excellence. I'll give that to you.
2015, Josh Donaldson comes back.
I'm trying to go like right off the board.
Maybe I'll think of somebody like that too. I'm trying to think of. Third was our call for a little while. Howie Clark. No, I'm kidding.
Howie Clark.
I love Howie Clark. Speaking of guys that played for the Red Wings for a million years. I'll throw another name at you. And
Trey Gloss is a good one. I loved his swing.
Me too. That one year he had in 2000 was awesome.
Yeah. See, I'm almost thinking like Billy Koch as well.
For the bullpen,
Or
Billy
that
Koch
one year
would be a nice
or
piece.
that one year BJ Ryan.
He was incredible that one year.
I would take
or even AJ Burnett.
Burnett would be fun for the rotation. What year was it when Delabar and Brett Cecil made it to the All-Star team? 2012 with the Raise the Bar.
So Raise the Bar with Delabar.
That bullpen was actually really good. Aaron was good that year too.
Aaron Loop is going to get paid again this year. How fucked up is that?
Was Rouch in that bullpen as well?
I think it's season after. Yeah. Rouch was 2011 with Frank Francisco, with Frank.
Better than what I used to call him. Francisco.
Yeah. Brand shit guy.
I
would go like Billy Koch or BJ Ryan for the back of the bullpen.
Jericho in 2008, whenever year, he was just incredible for whatever reason.
I'm kind of surprised you guys haven't named my other one yet. And it may be, like I said, this is my age showing. Catching.
Borders?
Pat Borders.
Yeah.
Team leader, just enough hitting. Still better than Danny Jansen at the moment.
Yeah, but is he better than Mourinho?
If we're talking about Len's future-wise, no. But right now, that would be
a win. Hang on, is Steve now Steve move on the level like of excellence? Steve is on there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Damn.
But to that point, we had plenty of good guys. Al Leiter, there you go.
Ted Lilly.
I find that funny that you mentioned Ted Lilly. I'm going to be this guy. Next time we have a contest, I have the perfect freaking thing over here that I happen to find in my rummaging of my house. It's unopened.
Oh, the Ted Lilly.
It is a Ted Lilly Pez dispenser.
That's pretty cool.
Right back to the Angry Jay Black and everything. Ted Lilly. There he goes. It looks just like him almost.
That's too funny.
Generic Pez dispenser. But we're going to give that out to a lucky Blue Jay fan when we try a trivia night on a week.
Hanky isn't on the level of excellence.
And neither would Dwayne.
Hanky Ward. Give me Hanky Ward.
There you go. Rowland fans in the house.
That one year, Scott Rowland, when they traded him to Cincinnati, was really damn good.
Rowland spent like $330, wasn't he?
Yeah.
On the very minority side of this, but I feel like Scott Rowland was very overrated.
He was injured a lot.
For Philly Scott Rowland or Cardinals Scott Rowland.
I still feel like he was very overrated.
Yeah, we basically got Kelly Gruber playing third base for 2 years of Scott Rowland. I'm just saying.
There was, in that year range of like Rowland and, was that when like Frank Thomas was here as well?
I think so, yeah.
That team, think that year, who else might have helped us in the middle of the infield there?
Aaron Hill.
That was one of them. And then the other one I was thinking was Orlando Hudson.
The
O-Dog. I love Orlando Hudson was the sneaky spark plug that we needed for a couple of years there in that lineup.
The O-Dog was really good. I like him for second base. Actually, Aaron Hill would probably be fine for second base.
Shout out to the Adam Lynn greasy goatee as well.
Oh, no.
Just have a DH.
Remember when he came up and he is a left fielder? I was like, what the hell is he doing out in left field?
It's because Marcus Thames couldn't play left field.
Oh, God.
Who is the new Miami Marlins, which as of an hour and a half ago, too, by the way. You all rolled your eyes. They aren't going to hit again in Miami ever. Just lawn balls, Godzilla shots.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the biggest ballpark in the NL East.
Well, that was...
But yeah, that was fun. That was my goal.
Blast to the past there. Anything else, guys, before we wrap it up? I really got to go to the bathroom, so I want to do two claps and Ric Flair.
Two claps and Ric Flair.
I will give you guys the floor before I do the Irish goodbye. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, gentlemen, thank you for a great night as always. Some good stuff around Blue Jays land. Jose Barrios is locked in for another 7 years. Robbie Ray has won the Cy Young. They are very in on a lot of top tier free agents, and we will be here with you all the way through to spring training and beyond. And Chris will be around, and Adam will eventually be back, and we'll get the whole game together, and it'll be a lot of fun as we lead towards the holidays. And happy Thanksgiving to our American followers. I know we'll do another episode next week, but just in case I forget next week, Craig, have a good Thanksgiving. I know that you're going to be on your extra long weekend when we record next week.
Hang on. Drunk. Hold the phone for disorderly. 1 second.
Whoa, what?
Shulman is going out saying what was this? July. Oh, no, August 25th. He posts, Robbie Ray just might win the Cy Young this season. And then he quote tweeted it saying, just going to leave this here. Fuck off.
Literally proved that twice over. Would you just had to check your Twitter account?
Too late, Shelby. Yes. You were 5 months too late.
And then I told you the one guy that bet with him already at the beginning of the season.
Yeah. Chris, you were the original founder of that. Don't let anybody take it from you.
Well, now Shulman just rained on my parade.
Yeah, well, tweet him and tell him.
I hope you reply with your tweet.
Yeah, please do. That will make for good entertainment on the later this evening.
Discussed on that bird watching.
Yes. Do it.
All right, gentlemen. Well, this has been fun. Check us out on Jay's Journal and our friends over at Stadium Scene. Check us out on all your podcast catchers, and we'll catch you next week, Wednesday, as we lead into the holiday season. Hopefully another move or two between now and then, but let's wrap this up as we normally do. Two claps and a Ric Flair. Let's go.
Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.